ladies and gentlemen, we've invited first class. Now we're inviting executive platinum, emerald, sapphire.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back the volutinous Lee Harris. How are you?
I'm very good. You did say last week you were going to gradually increase the difficulty in the words. I think we've gone from 1 to 100 there because I really don't have a clue.
Well, you know what? I came across this word and it was just cool. I just liked it. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to use that next week. And I'm not telling you what it means. I really do want you to do the research. It's actually not as bad as you think. It's not as bad as you think.
Is it not? Okay, that's great. That's my homework. That's my homework for next week.
You can but you know what? I give you these homework assignments and you don't do them. So I don't even know why I bother.
No, I don't know. Well, you know, there's a list of things, to be fair, Rhea. And I'm not saying you're at the bottom.
I have to mention that Crew Travel is brought to you weekly by Blue Marine Travel, who haven't lost a passenger since Lee Harris was born exactly... Well, in the late 1900s, in almost 5 days, it will That's be exactly true. A certain amount of time. So happy birthday in advance, because I'd rather be in advance than behind the times.
Thank you very much. Yes, first day is my birthday, another year older. So more hair to lose. So it's all good.
You're supposed to say another year older and another year wiser.
Yeah, but that's not true, is it? No. Let's not kid ourselves.
Do you know what? This week has been a very, very interesting week. And I'm just going to start off with the UK, because I don't know. I shake my head. You know, all of a sudden, we've got all these restrictions and everybody's quarantined. And then the prime minister gets up in front of, you know, the entire country and says, right, that's it. Okay, forget it all. And ironically enough, at the exact same time that he is being hauled over the hottest coals on the face of the planet for having parties at number 10 in the middle of the strictest lockdown in history. So do you wonder if it's because he wants to get himself off the hot seat, or is it, I just don't know. I don't understand. This prime minister, no, I have no affiliation with the UK and I have no voting power or anything like that. But I just look at this guy and shake my head sometimes.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I think there's more revelations today, I think, are going to be coming out, or they've just come out with regards to our friend Boris as well. So, yeah, it's the timing is fortuitous, to say the least, isn't it, that he's now decided that they're going to, you know, all restrictions are going to end and the UK can go back to however they want to be. Well, I guess the proof will be in the pudding and we'll see what's going to happen with that, you know, whether they're going to treat it as an endemic and not a pandemic anymore. And fingers crossed, hopefully it works out and then other countries can follow suit. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting time, to say the least.
Well, and it's ironic because at the exact same time, they are demanding all healthcare workers have vaccination passports. And so there's massive protests in the streets where all the healthy, and it looks like if that is indeed the case, they are going to lose. I don't even remember the number, but it was a massive amount of healthcare workers. So it's like they've taken away on one hand and added to the other. And so you're going to have all these people running rampant in the streets doing exactly what they want. If they get COVID, they're going to have a quarter of the staff there to look after them in the hospital. I just don't understand. I don't understand.
It's a bold move, to say the least, isn't it? I don't know. Who knows what goes on? I mean, politicians, they are definitely a law unto themselves. So it's going to be interesting times, that's for sure.
I think most of them were bored with a silver spoon in their mouths. So they have no idea what it's like to live as a common man. I think that's really what it comes down to.
That is very
true. Anyways, that's enough politics for today. Actually, it's not even political. I'm just looking at a guy and laughing.
To be fair, I think that's pretty much 90% of the UK population. I mean, I think they pretty much all do it, to be fair.
I don't think it's just the UK. I think it's probably the world at this stage. I mean, we used to have the US to laugh at. Now we've got... Sorry. not sorry. So what's going on in the world of travel? The Netherlands has made an announcement, which isn't so good for South African crew.
Yeah, there's lots going on this week. So, authorities in the Netherlands have reclassified South Africa as a very high-risk zone without a variant of concern, the country's government has confirmed. The recent decision that became effective on January 16th means that South African citizens who have completed their immunisation process against the virus are exempted from the EU entry ban. However, travellers still are obliged to present a negative result of the coronavirus test upon their arrival in the Dutch Republic and follow quarantine requirements. The Netherlands authorities have confirmed that all persons over the age of 12 are obliged to follow mandatory quarantine requirements upon their arrival in the country. All travellers over the age of 12 are required to self-quarantine for 10 days and must complete and sign a quarantine declaration. In addition, all passengers over the age of 12 are obliged to present a negative result of the COVID-19 PCR test not older than 48 hours before departure, or a negative antigen test not older than 24 hours before departure. For passengers in transit, they will not be required to quarantine, but they must also complete the quarantine declaration.
More paperwork.
Lots of paperwork, indeed.
Italy, what's going on there?
Yeah, good news there. The Italian Ministry of Health has announced that the country's decided to abolish the travel ban that's been imposed against the South African country since late November. According to an ordinance issued by the ministry on January the 14th, travellers who reach Italy after staying in South Africa, Botswana, Mozambique, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland and Zimbabwe will no longer be subject to the entry ban. Despite the fact that 8 South African countries are no longer subject to travel ban, everyone reaching Italy from their territories will still be required to follow strict entry rules, as these countries will now be part of Italy's List E. In line with the current entry rules that Italy has, all those who travel from a country placed on List E need to provide a specific reason for their trip. Specific reasons include work, health, study and other purposes. Unfortunately, travel for holidays is not on the list at this moment in time. Regarding the entry rules, foreigners as well as returning travellers who enter Italy after staying in one of the 8 South African countries must complete a digital passenger locator form. Apart from that, everyone must undergo a pre-entry PCR or rapid antigen test. The PCR test must be taken within 72 hours before arrival, and the rapid antigen test must be taken within 24 hours before entry.
Now, speaking of Europe, something came up in my newsfeed this past week about France only allowing the COVID passport to last for 3 months. Is that correct, or do you know?
Not France. I know Malta Malta was saying that their nationals, if they've not had the booster jab for COVID-19, then their vaccine pass would only be valid for 3 months. Once they get the booster, then it then stretches out to 9 months. So it's a bit misleading, I've got to say, because actually I posted that and when reading it, it does come across like it's only going to be for 3 months, but it's only for the people who have not had the booster jab yet. It's for 3 months. Then once they've had the booster jab, then it's valid for 9 months.
Okay. Yeah. Cause a lot of people just read the headlines, right? And I think, you know, once again, it's very smart media. Let's make this, you know, shocking because to be honest, that's what I saw. I just saw 3 months because I didn't have the time to read the entire article. And I thought every 3 months, I've got to get a booster. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have a vaccine that you don't really know what's in it, but you have it because you need it. But to continuously jab yourself every 3 months for the next, you know, lifetime, you know, 2 years from now, you're going to be seeing me doing this interview with my head twirling around 48 degrees or something. Might be an improvement. Who knows?
Well, we'll find out soon.
Queensland, what's going on there?
Yeah, really good news, actually. The Queensland government has dropped quarantine requirements and passenger limits for inbound international arrivals as from Saturday, January 22nd. Fully vaccinated travellers arriving into Queensland from overseas are not required to enter government quarantine. That's provided that you have undertaken a COVID-19 test within 24 hours of your arrival in Queensland and you isolate at your residence, accommodation or boat until you receive a negative result. Now, crew travelling to Queensland from overseas will also need to submit an Australian declaration form. This can be found at www.covid19.homeaffairs.gov.au. You will also need to complete a Queensland arrival declaration form, and this can be found at www.qld.gov.au. Obviously, both links will be posted on the Blue Marine Travel website, so if anybody needs them, they can find them there.
Brilliant. And what's going on out of India? Lots of good news for crew.
Yeah, not so much. As COVID cases continue to rise, the Indian government has extended the ban on all scheduled international flights. The ban, which came into effect in March 2020, has been extended multiple times since then and is now fast approaching the two-year mark. India's aviation regulator, the Directorate General of Civil Aviation, issued a fresh circular on January 19th announcing extension of the international flight ban until at least February the 28th. The latest decision comes in light of a sharp rise in COVID cases in the country. However, it's not all bad news because with previous extensions, the ban does not apply to flights under the bilateral agreements with certain countries. India currently has an air bubble arrangement with more than 25 countries, including the UK, Germany, France, the US and Canada. So it's not as much doom and gloom as it first appears.
That is good. Well, yeah, you just mentioned all the yachting hubs where people go. So, you know, as far as yacht crew go. It's still okay. Finnair has made an announcement.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, the Omicron variant of COVID-19, a looming strike by mainland staff and the ongoing flu season has seen Finnair cancel a number of flights. To cope with the resource challenges, the carrier is now reducing its traffic program for the month of February by around 20%. And offering other flight options, to its customers. The majority of the cancelled flights are on routes where Finnair operates multiple daily flights, so many customers will be offered an alternative flight on the same day. Destinations which will definitely be affected include, for example, services to Stockholm, Oslo, Copenhagen, Paris, and Rome. Changes will also take place to long-haul flights, but they've not been announced as yet, so people really do need to keep their eye on this. Any crew who are due to fly with Finnair in February, please make sure to keep in contact with your travel provider for updates.
Well, like we always say, things like this have a knock-on effect as well. So, you know, especially when you're taking different airlines and transiting and so on and so forth, it definitely has a knock-on effect. What a time to take strikes. Do you know why they're doing a strike action?
No, I don't actually. I don't know the reasons for the strike at the moment. Obviously, once we find out, then we'll let people know. But yeah, the timing stinks, doesn't it? You know, flu season, COVID. Let's just stick a strike in the middle of it as well, just to really make it fun for people trying to travel.
I'm surprised it's not France, to be honest, because they're kings of that.
They do like a good strike.
They do. I wonder if they invented it. I have to look into that. Right, Switzerland. What's going on there?
Swiss authorities have ended the pre-departure testing requirements for travellers arriving into the country who have been vaccinated against COVID or recovered from the virus in the last 270 days. According to a press release by the Federal Council, the new rules entered force on Saturday, January 22nd, but won't cease applying to unvaccinated or unrecovered arrivals, which will continue being subject to the testing requirements in order to enter the country. Furthermore, the Federal Council has reduced the validity period of the vaccination and recovery certificates from 365 to 270 days. That's basically the 9 months. This decision enters force on January the 31st.
All right. And we've got crew questions this week.
We have. It was an interesting one, actually, this week. One I had to look up because I didn't know the answer. We received a question in from Robert this week, who was looking to take diving equipment with him when traveling back to the yacht. Robert wanted to know if we had any information on Turkish Airlines running a promotion where diving equipment can be taken free of charge. Like I said, I've got to admit, I had no idea, to be honest with you, so I had to look this one up, but it is good news, Robert. Flying out of the UK and Ireland, Turkish Airlines do indeed allow you to take diving equipment free of charge on certain routes. Unfortunately, Robert, you didn't specify where you were traveling to, so if you can get back to me and get in contact with me, and I can confirm if your arrival country is on the list. But in all honesty, though, I had a quick look through. There are 26 countries in total where this promotion is running for, so the chances are high that you will be okay.
That's a cool idea, especially, I mean, you know, this is just right fit for the yachting industry.
Exactly right. Yeah, I don't know why Turkish Airlines are doing it now. It's the first time I've ever heard of it, to be honest with you. But yeah, a lot of the crew hotspots are there. So there really shouldn't be a problem, in all honesty, where Robert's going to be traveling to. But if he wants to just reach out to me just to double check, then, you know, we can definitely confirm for him.
Nice one. Well, you know what? It's actually been a great conversation this week. We didn't have a lot of doom and gloom, a little bit, but not as much as we have in the past. And we actually got to, you know, highlight some of my favorite topics, like politicians that suck.
Indeed. Yes. No. I mean, it's been pretty good. I've got to say, this week's been pretty good for travel news. Not a lot of doom and gloom at all. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I say it every time we have one good week, long may it continue. Probably next week, it's all going to go down the pan again.
Yeah, well, you know what I've got to say? Watching the news, the governments around the world, I think, are just sort of saying, you know what? What are we going to do? It just keeps coming round and round and round. And 2 years into this pandemic, we are still playing the same game that we played before. And, you know, it just keeps coming up with variants. And, you know, some scientists are now saying that with the latest variant that has come out, that it is actually bringing it down off the pandemic scale, where it's becoming more like a flu. But I mean, I know personally, just within the last week, two people that have died and another person that has been ended up in the hospital for the last month and a half. And they were vaccinated. So, you know, you just kind of, I don't know what's in the future. I think everybody's kind of living day to day. They don't really know what's going on. But you can't stop the world either.
He's right. I mean, he's exactly right. It's funny, but it's not funny. I shouldn't say funny. It's probably the wrong word. But, you know, you've got countries like the UK who are now just relaxing everything and saying you get on with it. Here in New Zealand, yesterday we moved from the orange traffic light system into red because Omicron's now in the community here. So, you know, you see countries who are now going to treat it basically as an endemic and not a pandemic. And certain countries like New Zealand, who have always been quite strict throughout the whole, you know, they've stuck to their guns and this is the route they're going to take. And we've gone into slightly strict and thankfully no lockdowns, but, you know, certain things are a lot more restrictive now. And it's just, yeah, it's strange how some countries are dealing with it, whereas others are dealing a completely different way, shall we say?
Well, I think, you know, in the UK's case anyways, they might, you know, 2 months down the road, all of a sudden go, oh my God, you know, we don't have hospital beds, we don't have anything in preparation for what they're going to end up with if this is a free-for-all. You know, I hate to say it, human beings, and I'm guilty of it too. And I figured that I'm kind of intelligent sometimes. Yeah, nice one. but I don't go out, I'm not partying every night, I'm not, you know, hugging and kissing and dancing, and I don't even exercise. So, you know, I'm not sweating all over. You know, the most exercise I get is cleaning my house. But, you know, I still think that we have the general population, they just will sort of forget, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. It's almost like a test bed, isn't it, the UK, to see how it's going to go. You know, my heart hurts, I hope they've got it right and treating it as an endemic is the way forward, because it's going to make things a lot easier for everybody and we can get back to some kind of normality, shall we say. There are concerns, especially as I have family and friends that are in the UK. You know, I do have concerns and worries about it. But at the same time, I can understand a little bit that you have to say that people do have to start looking after themselves, you know, because how long do you go on for? You know, we're 2 years in, you can't indefinitely keep, you know, locking people down and having quarantine periods and all the rest of it. So there's got to be some kind of, surely there's got to be a balance between the way that the UK are dealing with it and the way that New Zealand are dealing with it, because, you know, they are chalk and cheese at the moment. So, you know, sense would say to me, find somewhere in the middle, but it's easier said than done, I guess. And that's why I'm not a politician.
I think ultimately it really comes down to healthcare systems. You know, yes. Are the healthcare systems prepared to deal with the amount of patients coming in? And that's really, when you look at the very, very baseline of it, that is actually the reason that each country is doing what they're doing. The UK isn't famous for their healthcare system at the moment anyway. So that is going to be very enlightening, I think. And it might actually, you know, it might backfire on Bojo. You know, it might actually highlight the downfall of the healthcare system in the UK as it stands, because, you know, there's been outcry for years about the underfunding. I mean, Brexit, part of the main reason Brexit happened was because the country felt like their healthcare was underfunded. So now we have here and they do this. I don't know if that's going to backfire on him. You know, if it does, well, he's already almost got a vote of no confidence within his own party. So
yeah, it's right. To be honest with you, I'll be surprised if he's still there in 2 months' time, 2-3 months' time, but who knows? You know,
well, hopefully the next PM has a better haircut. That's all I can say.
We can but hope. You never know.
Rightly, as always, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you ever so much for keeping us up to date.
Always a pleasure every week. Yep, I look forward to it. So yeah, all good.
I know. I've got to say that every single one of the links mentioned here today and all of this information is going to be on the Blue Marine Travel website. If you are interested or doing any traveling in the next week, please do sign up to Lee's LinkedIn. That we will provide the link for here, and follow him on everything that is going on within the travel industry, because I don't even know where you find the time to sleep, parent, or work with all the updates that you do. So I've got to say, we thank you. As well, I've got to remember to tell everyone, Crew Travel is brought to you weekly by Blue Marine Travel. We haven't lost a passenger since Lee Harris was born back in the late 1900s. Thank you once again, and we'll see you next week, Lee.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you. Same time, same place.
You've been watching another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're boarding passengers seated in zones E and F.